Thank you, Sean. Next up, is my honor to have our brother McPherson give us our much needed words of exhortation. He has a theme to go with it, and that is the fire within. Brother Mac.
Morning, everyone. As our brother has just mentioned, my theme this morning is the fire within. I'm sure we all realize, become conscious of the fact that the God that we serve is a fearful God, and yet at the same time, a loving God. And God speaks to us in many ways, but he speaks to us as scriptures reveal as this fearful God, as one who speaks through the fire. Because his main interest is above anything else regarding our lives, that we might so walk that we can be preserved to have a place in his kingdom. The fire that burns within, or the fire that burns within each one of us should be there. And so in our readings for today, we go to the book of Leviticus, not an easy book to read, and we go to the Psalms, and then we enter into the churches in the days of Paul. And there we can see a continuous fire that burns. The fire that burns under the law of Moses ignites and spreads forth throughout the world and touches those in the days of David. And David's heart was lit and ignited by that same fire that came out of the Old Testament and the fire that was lit in the days of the law and the offerings and sacrifices. It spread quickly from the days of David throughout the people of God into the New Testament when Christ walked upon the earth and the apostles went forth to preach the gospel. When we are told that the gospel message spread throughout the world and literally turned it upside and set it on fire. This fire was fueled by the spirits of the spirits of God, where we know that many received the touch of the Holy Spirit to be able to perform many things. And so in the book of Revelation, under the minister of the priest, when they offer various sacrifices, there is this command regarding the fire where the offerings of sacrifice would be burnt on. And we need to go to our scriptures constantly to understand the things that God would have us to remember and carry out in our lives. So in Leviticus chapter 6 and at verse 12, we have there, having spoken of the different offerings that should be made up, and the order of the priests in which they should come before their God, it says in verse 12 that a fire should be lit upon the altar. The concentration of all the people and of the priests should be directed towards this altar, because this were the offerings that made and sacrificed would represent the gifts of God, the gifts of the people, to the God whom they worship, this fearful God, yet loving God, who loved each and every one of them. And it says in verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And it shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Now there is order with God. And in this illustration here, which forms the basis of my exhortation, it says there in verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. So in a continuation, that's chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It's an eternal flame. And so when we go into verse 20, we're told there, it is a perpetual flame And this is the order in which God has set it. And we can see this in this particular way, how that must be constant, daily, hourly attention to this fire. It should be kept continuously. It should be a perpetual fire. And so the, as we remember, do we not, that this flame, this fire that burnt, spread forth, and it ignited the heart of David. So we remember that when we go to the Acts of the Apostles, a mention is made of the man, the king, David, regarding his love for his God, the correction that came from his God at times, and yet God loved him so much. But what is said of this man? Remember, the fire is burning and is spread now into the days of David. And what is said of this man, as we find in Acts chapter 13? And there it is spoken of David. And it says in Acts 13, verse 22, these words. Speaking of the history of Israel, their presentation before their God, and what God had done for them, the apostle talking, Apostle Paul. And he says in verse 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. God speaking from within from the fire said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a savior, Jesus. So scripture says of David was that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man whose heart was on fire. When we go into the, well, we're into the Acts of the Apostles, we remember, do we not, that when this new covenant was put in order by God, out of the old into the new, the fire is still burning. And it's in a dramatic way, as we know, it's God speaking from within the fire. Remember, do we not, that when the time came for the apostles to go forth carrying the torch of fire throughout the world, the Roman world at that time. In Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost. And he said the day of Pentecost was fully come. And in Acts chapter 2, then in a spectacular way, we read the brethren assembled to receive their orders as to regarding their the order in which the order that are given to them of God, the commission from on high. And he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This flame, which had been ignited in the book of Leviticus, in the heart of David, was now spread into the new covenant, and the flame would now be, the flame would now touch, given to the apostles to spread out their torches of the preaching of the gospel throughout the world, to light the whole world up. And so it was, there appeared unto these apostles cloven tongue like as a fire, and he sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and continuing on and so on in that particular way. The fire, the living Spirit of the house under the new covenant, was fueled by these gifts of the Spirit mentioned in the readings that we have this morning from 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. And so it said there was, as it says in the Corinthians, that there was the manifestation of the Spirit was given to everyone. And now we realize that regarding this subject, every now and again, we have cause when we are doing our daily errands to go past our meeting place where once we assemble as one to offer offerings and sacrifices to our God. Going past this place of worship, it now stands in darkness. And there's a certain sadness when we go past here that once we were enjoyed the coming to worship to our God, the singing of hymns, the spoken word, and the sweet sound of the children leaving Sunday school. But now it stands in darkness. The mighty word is silent. The merry voices of children murmur amongst the tree branches. So there is this sadness in it. Is there a slowness of beating of the heart? Such conditions are brought upon us because we are willing to obey the orders of the land, and this is the way it should be. But with all this, we have to re-examine our situation. It's a whole different world for us now, because whereas we came into this place of worship and we united together, we found the company of one another, we were inspired by the thoughts given to us, the singing of hymns and all that kind, the heart beated faster, there was this warmth within us. We're now in the presence of God, but now it seems to be very strange, because now we're now at home, relaxed in our homes, and there almost seems to be something wrong with it. We're in our home, we're in a casual of dress, and we have a cup of coffee by our side, and the service that goes wanders on as we watch it and try to join it with this a type of worship. There is order. Now, as a young boy going to Sunday school, many were amazed by the fact that I was more interested in the law of Moses than the New Testament. I just reveled in the teacher who would talk to us about the law of Moses and its order. The thing that amazed me and touched me then, it touches me more so now because of the condition, is that God was very precise. God was very demanding of order and a precision of their worship to him. And so we notice in that, in Leviticus chapter 6, this was so, and it was emphasized in this manner. I associate myself with the priest. And the priest couldn't just, God said, well, you offer these sacrifices, the burnt offering, the free offerings and all that. You do it when you have time and do it in your order and just make it convenient for yourself. God didn't say that. He was very strict with the priest, because before they came and put the fire to the altar, they were instructed as to their presentation before their God. It wasn't a casual thing. It wasn't an half-hour thing. It was precise. It was in order. It was in control. It was a perfect presentation of themselves to their God. And so we're told in verse 10 of chapter 6, and the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them on beside. So that seemed to be a lot of it, but he said, no, there's an order, a precise order, so it continues in this way. And he shall put off his garments, put off the one part, and put on the other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and so on, in this particular way. So, brethren and sisters, we feel that we have to be very careful with our service to God. It must not be in a haphazard sort of way. And so we can look at different things in our ecclesia, in our presentation, in the order, precise order. And there's a few little things that annoy me, and I have to examine myself in this, as to offerings to our God. And when the priest made the offering, they had to be in the right or in doing this, a certain choice, certain meat in every way. And I think of this as we worship our God. I think there's a tendency to be too casual, and we don't put enough thought into it. And I say this because I find of late especially that we are very casual in our prayers. I know a brother who spends, when he has the prayer on the Sunday, he'll spend a whole week thinking of the way he should offer that prayer. That was not casual for him. But in some of our prayers, we have this casualness of having not given too much thought as to what we're saying. We thank that it is heard, and I don't want to offend any brother at this time, but we hear prayers given making a statement like this. We thank God for the chance of salvation. Think about that. We thank God for the chance of salvation. There is another saying, we are lucky to have lived so long. We are humble before our God. We are lucky to have lived so long. What are we doing in our prayers? Are we playing casino games with God? Are we saying to God, oh, it's nothing to do with you, God, that where we are today and the high corners are. If by chance that we happen to belong to a certain family who are Christadelphians, or we met up with Christadelphians and they taught us the truth. Chance has no place, the word chance has no place in an offering given to God. It is a tainted piece of meat, as under the law, and it will be thrown out. We have no right to say that we're lucky to have lived so long. What is it said in John? Remember in John, it tells us quite clearly that is not so. So when we go to John 15 and 16, we read this, where God explains to us exactly the way it is. And Jesus here, speaking on behalf of his Father, says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now this is what God said, this is what Jesus said on behalf of his Father. Ye have not chosen me. It's not by chance. It's not lucky. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. And so the warning to myself especially, and it may affect you, and that is what is said in the book of Revelation regarding the Ecclesia. And there is a danger that we could become like the Ecclesia at Laodicea. For you remember there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this regarding that Ecclesia. Ecclesia there, the location we've been and seen the water come from the mountains down into the city and the heat and the cooling of the water in that way. So 3 verse 14 says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. So this is there again, we have to be constantly aware that God speaks to us through the fire. God is observing what his activities were going on. He either pleased with them or he doesn't approve of them. It all depends on the heart that is on fire. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with God. And I have need of nothing. God, I have need no need of you. And that's the way the world is today. They have no need of God. They have everything. They have a heaven upon the earth in this way. And that's the way they do it. So we have to be careful that the influence of the world does not affect each one of us. And so we remember, do we not, that instead of a roaring fire, the exhortation is, Do we have embers that need to be stirred up by way of remembrance? More than once, thank God appeared to Israel in the fire to rekindle the fire that once burned in the hearts of the prophets. And though it is that we got, the situation that we have at hand is, as I say, it could be a dangerous one if it lingers on. And so that's as we remember that when we go to the Psalm, there was a constant need for David to go into the house of God because he needed to go there to rekindle the heart, the fire that burnt in his heart. And so his constant appeal in his days was that he might be able to go into the house of the Lord, to speak with his God, to be renewed in the things that are being spoken of by Moses and the prophets. So in Psalm 122 and verse 1, he says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. And so there should be this constant desire in our hearts. And now to go into, to be able to come to the meetings again. So never let this fire and this desire go down. But constantly pray to God earnestly that it may come soon, that we can return. Like Elijah, John the Baptist came on the world's stage. He was a fire within, and the people came to him to get out of their cold of mortal existence. And so we remember in John what it was spoken of, this man, the Baptist. Elijah, we know, as from schoolboy days, we saw this prophet, a man who was literally on fire, Elijah. And he came into the world, and the world was stirred up by him. They felt the heat of the preaching of the gospel, and they knew that there was a man of God in their midst. The world could not miss it, that here was something different. Here was a man who had been touched by the fire from heaven. And so in verse, in John chapter 5 and verse 32, we read this. And it says, speaking of John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, that I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Then he says, ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He now, here is the portrait of this man. It says in verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John the Baptist. John the Baptist, it says here, was this burning and a shining and light. And so after Jesus was resurrected, he saw the urgent need to teach and instruct those that he had chosen how to keep the inner fire burning. And there were times when he needed to upbraid them. These men, fishermen, tax collectors, they were men who had a fire within them, but it was of embers. It needed to be rekindled. It needed to be brought into full, full power of the fire. And so we remember when we read him in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus recognized it. He recognized the need for this because when he would leave the earth and John the Baptist had gone, there had to be this torch and this fire to be carried on throughout the world. It should never be put out, and it never will be put out until Jesus returns. The fire will be ever burning in the hearts of those who minister on behalf of their God. So Jesus had need to upbraid them. Jesus had need to stir the embers. Jesus had to make them alive again, full of the Spirit. And so we read in when we go to John of Jesus and his association with his brethren after his resurrection. And we all love the account that is recorded in the Gospel of 24, when Jesus, as we know, spent time 40 days with them to do this preparation time, to show them how to come before their God in the right order, how to be alive before him in this particular way. So it said that they remembered, do we not, that Jesus at this particular time, recorded in Luke 24, it said that that Jesus had caught up with him after his crucifixion and his resurrection. And it says in verse 25 of the upbraiding, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, O fools and slow of heart, or a low beating of the heart, to believe that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And then what Jesus did, he starts to pour on the fuel in the hearts of the men. He pours the fuel on so that the flame with fire would ignite. So then in time, the whole world would be lit by the thing that they've spoken of. So he begins, as we know, this little Bible class. And he begins with Moses and the prophets and expounds to them all the scriptures concerning himself. And here we need to do this. Our hearts must be fueled by the reading of the scriptures. We do our daily readings, but throughout the week, our mind also should be thinking of things of things heavenly, things which belong to the scriptures, to rekindle the fire every day so that it never dies out. And they drew nigh unto the village, it continues, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him and said, Lord, stay with us for a while. We need this attention. We need this help. We need to come to the meetings. We need to listen to the exhortation. We need to listen to the thought. We need to be caught up. And it says there, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now notice this. After all this attention and Jesus concentrating on them, the purpose of spending to get their fire going, then he said in verse 32, and they said unto one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and met up with the 11 that was there, proclaiming their hearts, the Lord is risen indeed. And this would be their message. This would be the theme of their preaching. The Lord has risen indeed. And so there was, in this particular way, there was a famous saying during the Second War. The soldiers at the front line would be constantly, singing it and making mention of it. And the famous saying was that, in the song, keep the home fires burning. What they were appealing to their parents and to their families with while they were away, that they must also, they should never let the warmth of the hearts of those who dwell in their homes at home to die down. They must be kept alive because they're going to return. And if they return, they wanted a warm welcome. They wanted to feel comfortable once again in a time of peace. And so the book of Revelation tells us we are ordained of God to be kingdom priests, which we ministers like the priests of old in the offerings of sacrifices. And we are instructed to this, and maybe the thought of this and the teaching of this doesn't glow in our hearts as much as it does. It should be a heat almost that we have to back up a little bit to listen to what the psalmist says regarding a calling. We have been called to be priests. We have been called to follow the order of the priests and the Lord Moses to do all things of precise and right before their God, so that will be an acceptable sacrifice. So in Psalm 103, verse 20, we read this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places, and his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my God. So the reality of this and the power of this preaching and the order of exhortation is that we must constantly remind ourselves that we are ministers of to do his pleasure, the Lord's pleasure. We have moved out of the law of Moses. We have come into the new covenant, and we are not angels, but we are ministers like the angels, to do the Lord's pleasure. Karen just on there, just to drop in the next Psalm, Psalm 104, verse 4. It says there that his ministers are a flaming fire. Now, speaking of God and the power of God, what he has achieved in the wonderful creation. I love the Psalms in the language of the Psalms, especially when David is talking about his God. Beautiful language. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heaven like a curtain. Hey, is there any one of us who can talk in that language of our God? Send him in this way when he continues, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariots, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. Our God walking on the wings of the wind. And then he also maketh his angels, spirits, his ministers, a flaming fire. So this is what is this. He's trying to make us a flaming a fire to go out and give warmth to people who are cold in this world. So we remember, do we not, that on the road to Damascus, when Jesus handed Saul, who would become Paul, Jesus on that occasion told him that he would be given the flaming torch of the gospel message. And he in turn would have to light the four torches of those who would be called of God. Ministers indeed. And so when we go into the New Testament, and when we walk into the different ecclesias, and we go into the homes of the brethren and sisters, there we see ministers, men, not men alone, but families, not families alone, but wives and individuals, all ministers to God. And preaching is done in many different ways. And so when we go to those in Philippi, the Ecclesia of Philippi, we have the association with some of the wonderful ministers of God. And we see how they're literally burning up within themselves to help others. And so we go to Philippians 2 and 22, and we see this. And he's speaking of one of those ministers. And he says, and speaking of Timothy, And Paul says, I have no man like-minded who would be a natural thing to care for your state. For all seek their own and not the thing which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And then he goes on to speak of another, Epaphroditus. Yes, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Verse 26, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he was sick. This minister, this brother, had been very sick. But in his sickness, he never lacked to remember those of his brothers and sisters. There is a difference. We're taught here of Timothy, And there's a bit of a difference. And this is how the fire of the word can change a person. From one who is casual to one who is burning up to serve his Lord. So this was the Timothy, because remember that when we first met Timothy, he was a little shy, maybe backward, not too courageous. And remember, do we not, when when Paul went into his house and associated himself with Timothy's grandmother and his mother. And then Paul went and talked to him. Paul saw there was a trouble. Paul saw there was a problem here, as with an individual, as with an ecclesia. And in verse 6 he says, 2 Timothy 1, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He needs these embers in his heart. He needs to be rekindled so that they bring life, power, and warmth into the life of this young man. Verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Where there's power, where there's fire, and where there's fire, there's offering acceptable to God. So this reminds me, speaking of excitement, that our brother Jamie, in his prayer of last week, he kind of reminded me of the need to think about the day of our baptism. And in his prayer, he said he appealed to God that God would create with him the excitement in his heart that he had when he was baptized. I thought it was a very good exhortation to that way. And this is what we have to strive for. And you can all remember the day of your baptism and the way you felt, the way you decided that you would commit yourself to God and so on. And it was a wonderful experience. Prayers, I can remember to this day my baptism, that especially with the order of the event and the singing, it was so beautiful, and I felt like being in the presence of angels. That fire, unfortunately for me, spiritually, it didn't remain in the full flame as it should have done. There was embers that were found there for a long time. So in Psalm 40 verse 6, we read this regarding God's situation in offerings and the order of our lives. In Psalm 40, a few chapters back, two songs back here, and we'll find it. And 40 verse 6, it says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us ward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hath they opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." And so we know that in our situation today that God doesn't require of us to have these sacrifice and offerings in the order under the law of Moses. But what he does is he's appealing to have our ears opened and listening to the word, and so that eternal flame might remain in the lives of each one of us. Verse 80 says, "I delight to do thy will, O God." And so it is. We ask ourselves, is the flame burning within our hearts? What we do, we put the hand on our Bible. And if we don't feel any warmth from it, then let us pray to God and ask our God that he might stir the embers up in our hearts so that our service of sacrifice and offering may be acceptable to him, that he will say and ask us to enter into his kingdom when offerings and sacrifices will be continued to be able to look back and to be say, my Lord, my God, we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us. Thank you.